What if there were a fountain of youth pill that could add decades to your life? Would you take it? Unlocking the Fountain is a podcast about the mysteries of aging and the scientific quest to slow, stop, or even reverse it.
When do you think we're going to have the first 150-year-old? I think that person's already alive.
Unlocking the Fountain. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Planes overhead. We're in a flight path. A beige brick two-story house sits at the end of a long driveway with a pickup truck. The home is on a nondescript cul-de-sac on the east side of Hamilton Mountain in a district called Mount Hope. Hello, welcome, Brian Goldman. Welcome.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Not bad. Samir, how you doing?
I'm Dr. Brian Goldman. This is White Coat Black Art. Me and producer Samir Chhabra are here to meet a man who can use all the hope he can get.
Come in. He'll calm down. It's okay, Sonny.
Sonny.
Yeah, Sonny.
That's a good name for a
Sonny's
dog.
Sonny's a Boston Terrier who's definitely from Boston. Yeah, he's tough.
Hello, my name is Bishop Brigante. I'm a recording artist / actor / activist. I was raised in Scarborough, Ontario, and I'm just currently fighting cancer, and I'm currently fighting outdated policies in our healthcare system.
Couple of big fights,
but I'm a warrior, and I actually come from the cloth of being a battle rapper back in the day.
Bishop has swarthy looks, a shaved head, and a face you might remember.
She wanted you because you're...
What?
Hey, you're right. Okay. Yeah?
You gotta make me a promise. You gotta pass out a message.
All right, what message? Huh?
You gotta find that cup.
In this scene from the hit TV show Orphan Black with Tatiana Maslany, you can't take your eyes off him. He's also been one of Canada's better-known hip-hop performers. His 2017 single, Hard Times, is an apt song for Bishop today. A middle-aged guy with stage 4 colon cancer. Along with the cancer in his belly, there's a fire. We'll get to that in a bit. Are you still rapping?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you rapping about cancer?
I actually did. I have a weird story about this. This is the first round of chemo that I did. I'm on round 10 Monday. The first round of chemo that I did, I experienced very vivid, wild dreams. Couldn't really sleep, but when I thought I was sleeping, my dreams were just so vivid and wild. And I had a dream that I was on a radio show in LA, Sway in the Morning, it's called. And they asked me to freestyle. That's when you rap off the top of your head, like just, you know, or you could have a written rap, it doesn't matter. And I was like, all right, cool. And I just did it.
In the dream.
In my dream. I did it, I rapped it, and it was like incredible. Everybody's going nuts. And when I woke up, I knew the rap still, like in my head. And it wasn't something that I had done before. It wasn't something that I had pre-recorded or anything like that. It was just something that was in my dream. I woke up and I remembered it. So I told my son Carlito, I was like, hey, listen to this. I had this dream last night and this was the rap. My voice was all messed up. I was like, chemo, right? My first round, so I didn't know what I was expecting. And he was like, Dad, you got to record that. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, you got to record that. That's like that. That's coming from a whole different place. Look at me staring death in the face. Food for thought, looking like no one left you a plate. How many prayers and blessings until you're next to the gate? Breaths don't count till you got to count how many left you could take.
Colorectal cancer is common and deadly. The Cancer Society says it's the second leading cause of cancer deaths in men and the third leading cause in women. Long thought of as a disease of older Canadians, it's been showing up in younger people like Bishop, whose symptoms began in his early 40s.
So at the beginning of this entire journey, starting at the 2 years prior to my diagnosis, I would have a lot of stomach pain, a lot of what would be told to me that it would be irritable bowel syndrome. I would eat food or I wouldn't want to eat because my stomach would be a little bit, you know, off. That would turn into diarrhea, which later would turn into blood in my stool. So I was like, whoa, this is different. but I didn't drink heavy. But if I went out and drank, by the time I got home and if I went to the bathroom, there'd be blood in my stool. So I'd be like, oh, maybe this is because I'm drinking. Maybe I should, which slowed me down from drinking. My doctors would say, that's hemorrhoids. They told me that I had irritable bowel syndrome, which at that time I was told, like, you know, you just got to kind of work on your diet, fix the food you eat and stuff like that.
And how did they come to that conclusion?
Just off of me talking to them about my symptoms.
Did they examine you?
Never.
Never?
Never. Never had the rectal exams like that. But I was always just, I would talk to them and tell them how I felt. And I was told, these are your diagnosis. Is the blood bright red? That's hemorrhoids. You're too young for anything else to be worried about.
Too young for what?
To be worried about things like cancer.
Here's the thing. Bishop says his doctors didn't tell him that his symptoms, bloody stool, abdominal pain, and a change in bowel habits might be due to cancer. His doctors told him he was too young. One key person figured it might be cancer. His partner, Melanie, who is also an experienced nurse. She badgered him to demand that he be tested for cancer.
Melanie literally, hands down, saved my life. She's the reason why I'm able to have this interview with you right now. As I was going on this journey, my current doctor, who's a great doctor, and thankful for him as well for listening to us push for a colonoscopy, because he was also... It was like a tape recording with all the doctors, right? It was the same thing. You're too young. No, you don't look like you don't.
So you actually asked, you said to doctors, could I have cancer? And they said to you,
no chance. You're too young. You don't look like you have cancer. Like, because it's easier. Irritable bowel syndrome. It's easier. It's an easier diagnosis. And maybe they don't want to give you that fear, right? But I was like, but it was Melanie. Melanie was like, listen, for 2 years, you've consistently had these problems with your stomach, pain in your stomach, blood in your stool. And my current doctor was like, you've got hemorrhoids. You don't have any significant weight loss or anything going on like that. You look healthy. You have hemorrhoids. So here's some cream. And I was using cream. And I was like, it's not doing anything. It's not changing anything. So Melanie was like, you have to ask for a colonoscopy. We just need to rule this out right now, figure it out and get it done. And let's just get this test. So we pushed my doctor and he was like, okay, I'll give you a referral.
And how far along, when did you have a conversation where you took Melanie's suggestion that you should have a colonoscopy? How long ago was that?
Last September. So it was September.
So five months ago.
Yeah. September.
So almost 6 months ago.
But Melanie had been saying it, not literally, you need a colonoscopy. But she was always saying, the doctors are wrong. Something's going on. You've had this consistently for a while. But we couldn't figure out what was happening, what was going on. And so we were trying different methods of figuring that out. And then Eureka, she was like, you need a colonoscopy.
When was the colonoscopy?
October. I think it was October 6th. I went in.
A Friday.
I think so. I went to sleep. I woke up and I heard the nurse talking to other patients. Oh, you're good. See you in 5 years. Oh, you're done. You're good. Everything's good. See you in 3 years. You're good. And then she came into my section and she said, did you want me to bring your wife in to be here when the doctor sees you? And I was like, and I'm woozy still. I just woke up, right? I'm like, well, why are you saying that to me? You didn't say that to everybody else. What's going on? Oh, no, nothing, nothing. Everything's okay. You're just going to see the doctor. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Then Melanie came in. We waited for the doctor. And as soon as he spoke and said what he said, internally I collapsed. Like my entire insides just were like, it's like a house of cards. And it just went shattered. And I held on to Melanie's hand for dear life. I'd never forget this moment. For dear life, as the tears just streamed out of my eyes. And I thought about my son. I thought about my daughter. I thought about my family. I thought about my career. I thought about my life. Everything in that moment. And I didn't hear one word the doctor said after, you have a tumor and it's cancerous. You know that sort of cliche thing where your life flashed before your eyes. There's nothing cliche about it. It literally flashed before my eyes as tears were pouring and I was holding on to Melly and she was so strong and she was just listening to every word the doctor said and just made sure she understood because she's very good at that. She's a nurse. She's been a nurse for 25 years. Like, she's incredible. So when we went home, it was like, okay, put your boxing gloves on, Bishop. It's time to work.
So fear and sadness?
Sadness. Fear, sadness, terrified, disbelief. Just destroyed. I was just, it's a nightmare.
A couple of things I want to clear up first. You talked about the moment finding out that you had cancer.
Right.
And of course they would have done a biopsy.
Right there.
Right there in the colonoscopy. But then you had to have CT scans and MRIs. Right. What happened next?
So that took a couple of weeks to get that done. So I was terrified waiting for CT scans, waiting for MRI. And then I got them. And that's when I found out that there was some spreading and there was some stuff going on.
Where had it spread?
It had spread from, it was like, the tumor was like 8 centimeters. So it was penetrating the walls of my rectum. There had been some deposits in my peritoneal walls. And then there was like nodules on my liver, nodules on my lungs, but they weren't sure exactly what those nodules were.
Bishop had metastases in his peritoneal or abdominal cavity, which for most patients carries a grave prognosis. For now, he's receiving chemo to try and shrink the cancer in his abdomen so that he might be able to have surgery.
So that was scary. It was a pretty heavy load to bear, but I felt like things didn't move as fast as I wanted them to, or as fast as we wanted them to, but once I started my rounds, I felt a complete change. I noticed that the bleeding was done. The bleeding stopped. The pain stopped. The blockage stopped. I was going to the bathroom properly. So Melanie's like, holy shit, it's working, the chemo. By the time I was a couple rounds in and I started talking to my oncologist, I'm like, hey, I don't have this anymore. I don't have this anymore. I don't have this. What does that mean? And he means we're on the right path. Again, I get reinvigorated. I get stronger and stronger. And then, and then all of a sudden I found purpose.
A purpose in his own survival, and maybe even the survival of an untold number of younger people who have colorectal cancer and don't yet know it. We'll be right back.
How do you forget your favorite person in the world? 30 years ago, my 14-year-old brother was killed by a speeding police car. And just a week or two after he died, I started to forget him. But what if I could get my memories back? I'm Alex McKinnon, and Sorry About the Kid is a new 4-part series about what happens when trauma and memory collide.
It felt like something was being torn out of my brain. It's just somebody just tore a piece of flesh out.
Sorry About the Kid is available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
You're listening to White Coat Black Art. This week, rap artist, actor, cancer patient, and activist, Bishop Brigante. Bishop was diagnosed with cancer only after he got symptoms. Colorectal Cancer Canada says screening with regular colonoscopies can detect cancers early, well before there are symptoms, when they're curable. Right now in Canada, screening programs begin at age 50. Bishop, who was in his early 40s when his symptoms began, says screening must begin years earlier. He's putting himself out there while dealing with stage 4 colon cancer. What does that mean to you, having stage 4?
Nothing, because I didn't put any stock into that because I didn't want that to override my willpower, my mindset, or my warrior mentality. I don't put stock into that. I know it's dangerous. I know it's scary, but could it have been avoided? Yeah. I have this crazy metaphor about why early detection is so important. Imagine putting yourself in a boxing ring, getting put into a pro fight, but you're handcuffed and you're blindfolded, and the boxer's just beating the crap out of you for one round. For 2 rounds, for 3 rounds, for four rounds, and then all of a sudden, you take off your blindfolds, you take off your gloves, you take off your handcuffs, now you're in the fight. That's stage four to me. Somebody beat me up while I was handicapped, I didn't know what was going on. A referee allowed it to happen. Who's the referee? But now my blindfold's off and my handcuffs are off, and I'm in the fourth round, so it's just I just got to figure out what's going on, adjust, and then get the ass whooping.
So that's you and the cancer. There's also you putting your story out there, talking to me, talking to the media. What are you trying to accomplish there?
I put it to you, it's very simple. I want to save lives. I found a purpose because I felt that there is a broken system, an outdated system, and an outdated way of looking at certain things. I respect the medical field. I respect doctors. I respect the work that they put in to get into the place and the positions that they are in. This is nothing targeting them as being villainous, malicious, or having some sort of agenda that doesn't.
You just think they're wrong in this case.
I just think it's very outdated, and I think it's wrong in the fact that there's a criteria, an age criteria, for a physical disease that anybody at any age can get. So how can you have a criteria based on the fact that if one person that's 15 can get it, there shouldn't be an age criteria? If one person in their 20s can get it, like, that's enough. One person dying from it is enough that we gotta really think about this. Okay, sure. There are stats previously back in the day, outdated stats that say people that are older than 50 years old are the ones that are developing colorectal cancer. But they developed it. They developed it. It was developed. It wasn't something that was like, I'm 50 years old, I got colorectal cancer. No, this is something that develops polyps. They grow, they turn into tumors, they turn into cancerous turn. Some of them are benign, but they turn into something. So when you say that somebody developed colorectal cancer in their 50s, well, it was probably started in their 40s, or it could have been in their 30s. I was told that this could have been a slow burn for me. This could have been something that was developing for years.
As part of his public advocacy, Bishop started a petition at change.org.
Colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death for men and women, and early detection is crucial for successful treatment. We believe it is time to change the age criteria that doctors use to determine when patients should undergo diagnostic screening. Currently, in a week, we had 10,000 signatures. In a week, I started getting calls from news. I started getting change.org started contacting me like, hey, this is, you know, you're picking up some steam here. And then one of my supporters, Mickey O'Brien, never met him. He says, hey, you know, I know the health critic, French Gelinas. She's a part of the NDP party. I'm from Scarborough. I'm a rapper. I don't know what NDP stands for. I'm like, but she's a health critic. I'm thinking, I would love to talk to anybody in parliament. I don't know what that means, but I would love to talk to anybody in a part of the government that may have something to help me figure out what's next here. She thought I was calling for me. And when she learned that I was actually calling for all those that come after me and trying to avoid as many nightmares as possible, that's when she said, oh, we're going to do something here. And I was like, okay. And she's like, well, we're back in Queen's Park, February 20th. I'm going to bring your petition in because you can't read it. You can't do that. And she's like, it's going to be read and tabled officially. Myself, Melanie, my father, and my best friend Masters, we all went down to Queen's Park February 20th. So we had been put into this balcony, and I had seen this room on the news before, never paid it any mind because I was never into politics, but I remember seeing it, and I remember being in there, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, what look, what are we, where are we? What is this? This is like some secret stuff or something. Like, this is the government. Like, you know what I mean? You don't know. If you don't know, it's very surreal. It's very surreal. But again, eye on the prize. What is going to happen here? Let's wait for it. And then France introduced me and my family.
Petitions. I recognize the member for Nickel Belt.
Thank you, Speaker. It gives me great pleasure to thank Mr. Bishop Briganti for this petition. He and his spouse wrote this up at a moment in his life where he really needed care. He now wants to care for other people in Ontario, and in less than a month, they have collected 17,639 signatures on this petition. It reads as follows. Lowering the age criteria for colonoscopy.
People stood up and were clapping and were like, and then when it came time for France to read the petition, and she did, there was this moment where I literally left my body and I started thinking about the nightmare again, the moment that I was diagnosed with cancer, the fear, the terror, the sadness, the disbelief, the grip that I had on my girl's hand, holding on for dear life. As France was reading the petition, I thought of millions of other people after me that are going to experience that nightmare. And I said, change has to come. And every word that France said in that petition reading was so powerful that I started seeing in my mind the millions drop down to hundreds of thousands, drop down to thousands. It just kept decreasing, victims of this horrible disease. And I envisioned it. It happened in my mind. And then I came back into my body and I sat there and I was just like, and I looked at France and she, you know, she thanked me and everything. And I was just like, God bless you. And I so believe that that out-of-body experience that I experienced of seeing all those casualties become people that just got to live their lives, and the numbers just dropped so drastically. It was the most powerful thing I've ever experienced in my body, and it just gave me more purpose.
In Canada, the minimum age for colorectal cancer screening is still 50. In 2021, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force joined the American Cancer Society in recommending that screening begin at age 45. There's a raging debate over what age screening should kick in. That's for people who don't have symptoms. For Bishop and others like him who have symptoms, he says there should be no age limit and no debate. You want the petition to spread awareness. Do you want there to be a policy change? Are you hoping that the province will do something different when it comes to colorectal cancer?
They're going to. I believe that they're going to, because it's a win-win for the people and for the government. But yes, in a perfect world, I want the age criteria to be removed and this procedure to be given to anybody that has symptoms. Symptoms, not asymptomatic people. Sure, we got fit testing for that. We got, you know, other means of checking things out if it's not. But if you fit the criteria symptomatically, then I don't think that there should ever be any age criteria. It is realistic. We will make change. I don't have an option. It's not going to stop until we change. We make change.
And other jurisdictions have lowered the screening age.
Somebody said somewhere that in the U.S. they lowered it to 45. Still, not enough. But right now, we're talking provincially because of Queen's Park. I've gotten phone calls from people in Ottawa that would like to have a sit down and have a conversation and make things happen. I can't speak on it because it hasn't come to fruition in the level that I can be like, hey, listen, this is who's involved and this is what's going on. But it's happening.
And it's happening because Bishop thinks earlier diagnosis in younger people saves the government money. That's the pitch to the head. His main message is a pitch to the heart, which, despite his own personal fight against cancer, beats strong. So this is an off week for you, as far as chemo is concerned, and you've got round 10 coming up. How are you feeling today?
Today I feel good. I've been getting, you know, again, purpose reinforces my strength. And when I'm on my recovery week, I'm generally at the start of it, I'm generally, you know, a lot stronger than I was the week before. My chemo weeks are, they're rough. It's rough. Like I do 3 days straight, 24 hours of chemo, and I'm out of there. I call it a chemo coma because I can't talk. I can't really move that much. Sleeping, quote unquote, sleeping.
Vomiting?
Yes. I don't get a lot of vomiting. I usually get one big one, but last week, like this, you know, round nine, I ended up getting two, which is not bad.
So that I understand, that's a lot of chemo, a lot of rounds. What's the end point? What's the objective of it? I mean, obviously to live, but is there an intermediate kind of what's supposed to happen next if you respond to the chemo?
So I have found out that in February, I got some scans back that there was some shrinkage, which is amazing. But I have two different situations happening because of the spread, it became peritoneal carcinoma, which is, you know, there, in my stomach lining, in the walls of my stomach, there's deposits. They haven't changed, but they haven't grown or spread. So that's a more complex surgery. And the end goal with my chemo is that I should be having surgery, like the colon surgery, and then the peritoneal at once. So they got to get in with the microscope to really check and let me know if the surgery can actually be done.
So that's uncertain.
Yeah, that's the only scary part, but I don't focus on it. I feel like because the chemo is reacting to my tumor and shrinking it, I just believe that it's going to manifest. My mindset is that I'm going to win. I don't have a choice.
Thank you for speaking with me.
The pleasure is 100% mine. Thank you so much for even giving me a voice with such an esteemed person like yourself. Thank you.
We thought you'd like to hear more of Bishop's dream rap, so we're going out with that.
Look at me staring death in the face. Food for thoughts looking like no one left you a plate. How many prayers and blessings until you next to the gate? Breaths don't count till you counting how many left you could take.
That's our show this week. White Coat Black Art was produced this week by Samir Chabra with help from Jennifer Warren and Stephanie Dubois. Our digital writer is Brandy Weichley, and our digital producer is Ruby Buiza. Our senior producer is Colleen Ross. That's medicine from my side of the gurney. I'm Brian Goldman. See you next week.
I'm kidding. I'm laughing at your feature request. The audacity to believe that you can speak with the best. Pick a caliber.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.